Thank you for taking time to listen to this week's message from First Orlando. You can find even more content, including video archives of this and other past messages, at firstorlando.com. And if you're in the Orlando area, be sure to visit us sometime soon. Now, enjoy this podcast from First Orlando.
If you got a Bible, go to Luke chapter 15. We're going to start in a second, verse 11. So somehow, some way, Jesus knew we'd be sitting here today reading a story that connects with us at some point. Now, some are the prodigal. And I use that word prodigal just to describe us. I was the prodigal. And so what I want you to think about is this was written for you. If you are one of those who can't forgive themselves, you messed up. And you just said, there's no way that I can be fully restored. Or maybe you're that one that says, God, He won't forgive me. And I know if I go back or if I turn back to Him, it's going to be a lot worse. And some of you are running from God. I know what you look like. I showed up in church. I acted like I had it all together. But in my heart, I knew I wasn't where I was supposed to be. For some, it's disappointment with God. This story's for you. There might have been things at home this kid just didn't like, and so he wanted out. It might be that some of you have rejected the church or some authority. Because you can't fight God, you got to fight somebody. Or maybe you've been hurt by a church, so you're done. Or perhaps you're one of those that sits and says, what happens if I go home? Well, this is a story for you. This has got your name all over it. This is the lesson. A little girl, 4 years old, heard this lesson, talking about the prodigal, and her mama asked, what'd you learn today? And she said, well, I learned that if you ever leave home, don't forget your credit card because you'll be in trouble. Yeah, you need a credit card, but you need a lot more than a credit card. Keep in mind something. Home is where God wants you. It's not necessarily a building. It's not necessarily a family. It's not necessarily a home. It's just what God's purpose for you. But now home is great. Home is comfortable. And I'm telling you, I could get used to this every weekend. This is home. This is a chair that I own. Table, coffee cup, got my shoes. They'll make sense in a minute. But this is home. So what is it? Or where is it that God wants you to be? And are you there? In your relationship with Him, would you say you're in the center of what you believe God is doing and wanting in your life right now? To the degree that you're not in the center, you're not home. You say, well, I'm real close. Well, there's a difference in standing and a difference in sitting and enjoying home. There are a lot of us that hang around out here. That's not home. That's home. So keep in mind when you hear the story and as we talk, home represents where God wants you to be. So look at the story with me. I'm in verse 11, chapter 15. And he said there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the share of property that's coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Notice both sons got the property. The older son, we'll talk about him later, he's really the older prodigal because you don't have to leave the house to be a prodigal. You can stay in the house and your heart be long gone. He got two-thirds because he's the oldest son. This kid that we're looking at today got one-third. So he gets his money, And not many days after, the younger son gathered all that he had, and he took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. He went, he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the very pods that the pigs were eating. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I'm perishing here with hunger. I will arise, I will go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you, and I've sinned against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose, he came to his father, but while he was a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, ran, embraced him, kissed him, and the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, put shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let's eat and let's celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." That's a great story. So here's my question. When I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about my own journey, four questions. What would make you ever want to leave this? What would make you want to leave being exactly where God wants you to be? What would make you want to leave home? The second thing is, where are you going? I can tell you where I went. And then the third is, what would it take to bring you back? And the last, what do you think you'll find when you come home? I just think those are four critical questions for every one of us, especially the prodigals in the room. There's some in the room today, some on the stream, that for some reason have said, I don't need that right now. I don't want that right now. And so you're out on your own. And I want you to know that this morning is really about you. And God knew you would be here. God knew you would be on the stream. I just think this thing is so relevant. This story, it's a parable, but it's a timeless parable. It speaks to every culture, every generation. So back to that first question, why in the world would you ever leave the comfort of where God wants you? I'll show you why. Paul David Tripp has a great quote. "Where we look for awe will shape the direction of your life." Where you look for awe, where you look to be inspired, where you look to be fulfilled, where you look to be just another buzz, another, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. Wherever you look for that, that's the way your life is going to go. And I guess for some reason, we didn't realize what we already had. That was one of the reasons for me. We didn't realize what I already have. Do we know what we have in Christ? You realize what you have in the Father's house and what you have when you walk with Him? It's unbelievable. Do you think Bill Gates' kids growing up had computer problems that couldn't be fixed? No. You've got a Father that owns it all. And you've got a Father that loves you. And has everything you could possibly ever need. So how in the world could we imagine that we're missing out on something? I think that's the second reason we leave. Fear of missing out. FOMO. That's exactly what the serpent did in the garden. Told Adam and Eve, now, you know, God may be holding back on you. That tree that you're not supposed to eat of, surely you're not going to die. I think whenever the seed is planted that there's something out there you're missing out on, it drives some of us crazy. I don't mind telling you, FOMO, as a kid, I would always sit around on a Friday night and see traffic and wonder, where's the party that I'm missing? Where is it? I just felt like I was missing out on something. And I think maybe this kid, this young son, he thought, well, there's something out there, and I've got to go, I got to go find it. I cannot tell you how many marriages I have watched die because the husband thought he was missing out on something out there. I can't tell you how many I've watched die that the wife thought, I'm missing out on something. There's my perfect mate. My soulmate is out there somewhere. I married the wrong one. I've heard it so many times, it just makes me sick when I hear somebody say it. Because I know where it's from. It's from hell. It's not from heaven. And it's that idea that, well, if you leave, if you go away from home and away from what God has for you, you'll find something. No, you won't. Well, I may be missing something. Yeah, you're missing something. You're missing pain and a broken heart and a whole lot of bad stuff. But we convince ourselves that there's something wrong with home. The chair is not as comfortable as it looked. You know, it's kind of, I'm tall and maybe it doesn't fit me right. I mean, we come up with the craziest things about following God, why it's not comfortable, why it's not the right place. So we go looking for something that is. We're never satisfied. We're always looking for more. Harvard Business School did a survey of 4,000 millionaires. And they asked these 4,000 millionaires, how much would you have to make to be content? Of the 4,000, how many of them said, I'm good? None of them. The average of those responses was, if I made 10 times more than what I make, I'll be okay. Now, there's nothing wrong with ambition, but there's everything wrong with looking to the world's stuff to fill your empty soul. So this young guy says, I'm out of here. Maybe something was going on at home. I've had people ask, do you think there was an issue at home? Maybe the father or the son, the brother, there was something going on. He wanted to get away from. I don't know. But you know what I did? I blamed my parents. But my issue was with God. And my period of rebellion, I was so mad at God because my parents moved me when I was going from my sophomore to junior year. We moved from a medium-sized high school to the largest high school in the state of Arkansas that year. And I remember being so angry. And the only answer I got from my parents, why are you doing this? The only answer was, God told us. So I am so mad at God. How do you fight God? How do you fight him? But I could fight my parents. So I felt that, well, if I can't get to God, I can get to them, and I'll make them hurt. And that's who I fought. So maybe for some this morning, the issue is with God. And the struggle that he disappointed you, that he didn't answer a prayer the way you wanted, or you didn't get that job you were praying about, or you didn't get that relationship, or you didn't get something that you think God owes you. And so you leave home. Second question, where are you going? Where are you going to go? I'll tell you where you're going. Where you never meant to go. It always happens. This kid leaves home and has a wonderful ride. It's fun. Sin is a blast for a little while. It's like the kid who put on the Superman outfit and he jumped off his house. When they picked him up to take him to the hospital, he said, Mom, I flew for a little bit. Yeah, it's fun for a little bit. But then comes the crash. And isn't it interesting in the text, it says, then the famine hit. It always happens at the worst time. You lost your job. There was a downturn in the economy. Something happened. Somebody got sick. There's a health crisis. It always happens at the wrong time. But if you're home, you can handle it. But when you're on your own, You're desperate. And all of a sudden, you don't have the resources. You don't have everything. So what did he do? The only place he could go was to pigs. It's really the only clue in the story of where he might have been, because that's a Gentile region. They don't have many pig farmers among the Jews, okay? Because of the Levitical law in talking about the uncleanliness of pigs. And so he was probably somewhere where it was thoroughly Gentile. And the unthinkable thing happened. He not only goes to work for the pigs, he wanted to eat what they were eating. You think that was nauseous watching that kid eat that sandwich? Can you imagine eating what the pigs are eating? But he was desperate. And by the way, where were all those friends who were at every party? Where are all the ones who said, yeah, man, I'm with you. That's a great idea. Yeah, it's great. And then it crashes and you don't have any friends. You know where your friends are? Your friends are home. The people who love your home. What I didn't realize in my rebellion, the people who loved me most were in the church, the very thing I hated the most. And I can just remember having a conversation. I was waiting on FCA to start. I had enough sense to go to Fellowship of Christian Athletes because it kept me connected at least a little bit to a foundation that I knew was right. So I'm sitting there on a stage. We're just kind of sitting around. And these friends of mine were sitting around me and they said, hey, David, we just wanted to pray for you right now. I said, nope, I don't need your prayer. I looked at them and I said, you know, you Christians really make me sick. You're always wanting to pray for me like I got all these issues. Why don't you pray for yourself? Pray for somebody else. That's exactly what I said to him. What I didn't realize is the greatest friends I'd ever know were in the body of Christ. They're home. Not at the land that I thought was so good. So, third question. What brings you back? What would it take to make you go home? For me, here's what it was. When you realize that all you ever needed is what you already had. You know what made me realize that? An injury, playing basketball, flat on my back, in the most pain I've ever been in. And I'm laying there thinking, what, God, what is wrong with you? Why did you do this to me? And then I begin to think through that process of healing and through the process of all the therapy and all the rehab and the workouts, I remember beginning to think, man, this is not me. There's a verse in this story. It says when he came to his senses, or he came to himself. Look at verse 17. It's fascinating. When he came to himself, I started digging on that because I just knew that the Greek, there was something behind the word. I mean, there was some little key that was going to unlock. Guys, it's just what it says. Start thinking. Take a look. Remember who you are. Remember where home is. And you know what's weird? I've had people ask me during my rebellion, did I ever think about what was right? Did I ever think about what I knew was God's will? Yes. Every day. In fact, I remember the night I got hurt, I'm sitting there waiting for the basketball game to start, and I'm sitting there and a thought goes in my mind, what happens if you get hurt tonight? And the immediate response was, man, I'm not going to get hurt. I ain't ever been hurt playing anything. I'm not going to get hurt. I think whenever it says he came to his senses, it means he just woke up and took a deep look at where he was. He's with pigs. Here's what's interesting. The stories that Jesus told about the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost kid, the coin didn't know he was lost. The sheep knew he was lost, but didn't know how to find his way back home. But as Vance Havner says, the only one in the three stories who knew they were lost and they knew where home was the kid. You know why? Because God is in us. And he is with you. No matter where you are and you're running, no matter how far from God you are, he is there and you know how to go home. You know where home is. So just stop and think about it. This guy got over his guilt, his shame. He even had a speech. He's all rehearsed and ready to go. And the embarrassment, he dealt with it. I mean, he's going home no matter what, because after you've had pig slop for a little while, it's nothing is worse. So he gets to his father, and his father interrupts him. Notice he starts with, I have sinned. Verse 21, I have sinned against heaven and before you. That's what we call confession. Confession is a nice biblical word that's built on two words, okay? When you see this, I have sinned before heaven and before you. I've sinned against heaven and before you. Confession is C-O-N, that means agree. And fess means fess up. It basically means you fess up and you agree with God, you've made a mistake. That's what it means. And the Bible promises over and over, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as a prodigal, I remember that moment of confession for me. I'm sitting in a gym again. Gymnasiums have a big part in my life. But it wasn't to play a sport. It was to listen to a speaker. And it was packed. It was a citywide crusade of some sort. I don't remember who the speaker was. I really wasn't paying much attention to it. So I'm sitting there, and I got my leg up in a chair in front of me because my ankle is being rehabbed, and it's very painful, and so I'm just elevating it in the cast. And my mom is standing right here, and everybody's standing, and they're singing a song, and they're inviting people to come forward, and I was just sitting there, and then all of a sudden, the speaker did this. He said, I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to tell him, you love them. I'm like, why did he have to say that? Of all things, I couldn't tell you the last time I told my mom I loved her because I didn't. I was fighting her and my dad. Why? Because I was mad at him. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, I got to do this. So I turned. She's standing. The only time she's been taller than me in this moment. And I look up at her, and this is what came out. Mom. And then I lost it. I just started weeping. I mean, I was crying like a baby. And it was so beautiful. She sat down by me, and she wrapped me up. And I just kept saying, Mom, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Somewhere in there, I got the word out, I love you, but it was like the dam broke. And I could tell a difference after that night. It's as if confession is the hinge for the door of forgiveness to swing open. When you finally own it and say, I'm sorry, it's amazing what happens. So then the last question was, what do you think you'll find when you go back? Well, in my mind, I thought it's not going to be the same. I thought there's no way it's going to be the same. You know what? It wasn't. It was a lot better. This kid goes home. And do you know what the text said? I mean, we read it together just now. The father turns around to the servants and says, get me a robe. Get me a ring. And I really wanted that third one to be an R word. Get me some Reeboks. So those are Reeboks right there. Get the boy what he deserves. He's my son. A robe meant he's in this family. The ring was very special. It was a gift from a father to a son. And the shoes, all God's children got shoes on their feet. And then he said, and kill the fatted calf. We're having Wagyu tonight. We're having a celebration. And they partied. That's what he found when he got home. So my answer to the question, what are you going to find when you go home? You find what you could have never imagined. How in my wildest dreams would I think God would be forgiving and welcome me? There's music and then dancing. And there's a resurrection. Did you catch that? This son, this kid was dead, but now he is what? Alive. I didn't know I was dead. But after being alive, I knew I was a different kid. So for me, coming home was something that I never expected. If you'd have asked me back then, hey, what are you going to be doing when you're in your 60s? My answer would not have been what it is. I wouldn't have been close. But you see, God had another plan. He knew where home was. And if I could just be so honest and say, I wouldn't have missed it for anything in the world. Because when you're home, it's unbelievable. I know some of you are thinking, I don't know if I can go home. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. This is waiting on you. So in a minute, I'm just going to invite you to come. I just want to shake your hand. I want to encourage you. I have one prodigal to another. You may not be that far. In fact, there's so many different levels of prodigals. You may be just right here. You may be right here, and he's just saying, would you just sit down and let me take control of your life? You need to come home. I'll never forget the night that I walked in the door. It was late. I was in college, and I came in the door, and I heard something. I heard my mom crying. I mean, it sounded like crying. And so I started down the hall to their bedroom, because I thought something had happened. And then I heard her call my name. She was praying. Can I just tell you? You can't get over the prayers of a mom. The prayers of godly parents matter. I tried to act like it was no big deal. I'm telling you about it now. You know how many years ago that was? It changed me. So when I was in the middle of all this and I heard a story, and it's been a version of it, many versions of it, but somewhere there's a kernel of truth. It's a very, story that could happen. There was this young man, he was on the farm in the Midwest, and he wanted to be out on his own, so he got his money. And he said, I don't want to live here anymore. And he said some really horrible things to his mom and dad, and he's gone. But when he gets to the city, like always, he runs out of money and things are tough and he's hungry, he's homeless. He writes a letter back to his home. Says, Mom, Dad, I'm so sorry. I said things and did things that were so wrong. But I want to come home. I'm going to get on the bus and I'm going to come to the station, and it's okay if you don't want me. But if you would take me back, would you take my sheet off my bed and tie it on the tree in the front yard? That way I can see it from a distance, and if it's not there, I won't bother you. But if it's there, I'm coming home. Can you imagine the bus ride? Can you imagine what it was like when he got off the bus, started walking to where he could see his front yard? And when he got to where he could see it, his sheet wasn't on the tree. Every sheet in the house was on the tree. And they were all blowing in the wind to say, welcome home. If I could put a sheet up here to say welcome home, I would, but a sheet doesn't tell the story. The cross tells the story. As long as there's a cross standing, when you're driving the 408 and you see that cross, When you see a cross anywhere, I want you to remember that is God's way of saying, hey, look in the front yard, you're forgiven. Come home. Come home. And today, there's nothing that can possibly keep you from that. So here's what I want to do in just a minute. I want you to come. I just want to pray for you, encourage you. You can stand here a moment, and you can pray. Now, along with anybody who is running, anybody who's a prodigal, in whatever way you want to define that, I want you to come to me. But there's some others of you that I want you to come. God bless you. There's some others of you. You have a prodigal in your family. You have a friend. I want you to come and write their name on a card, and I want you to put it on this platform. And we're going to gather them up, and we're going to pray over them today. Because I'm telling you, the prayers of God's people can change the heart of any prodigal out there. I believe that, and we're going to practice it today. So, Father, right now, I pray for the prodigal. I pray for the ones who have walked away from home, whatever the reason. And then, Lord, I pray for all of us who know somebody that they've made that choice. God, don't let us give up. God, please don't let us give up on them. But God, help us to pray for them. So, Lord, I'm praying for prodigals and for friends and family of the prodigals. May your will be done today in Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening to the First Orlando podcast. For more information like our service times, location, and other contact information, be sure to visit us online at firstorlando.com. Have a great week.